presenter is Laura Campbell. Laura is a master's level graduate student at the University of Illinois at Chicago, pursuing joint degrees in public health and business administration. Her studies focus on women's health, violence, occupational health and safety, and public health management, with the emphasis on the overarching social and economic conditions that permit health disparities to exist. She has a background in nonprofit management and a passion for social justice and working with oppressed populations, specifically women, Latino immigrants, and the LGBTQ communities. So please welcome Laura.
As Sarah said, my name is Laura, and I'm a Master of Public Health and Master of Business Administration candidate at University of Illinois, Chicago. And I'm presenting on a project that I worked on this summer in Chicago with Maria Patino, who is a Master of Urban Planning candidate at UCLA. Our project was on the investigation of occupational hazards and the impact on Latino temporary workers in manufacturing. Oh, and I have no relationships to disclose. The temporary workforce has more than doubled over the past decade, and the boom of this relatively new workforce has led to new issues in occupational health and safety. The workforce is characterized by a unique triangular employment relationship. Client company contracts with the temporary employment agency, who then provides the workers to the company. And this relationship has made the enforcement of workplace laws difficult and inconsistent to enforce. And in many cases, both the client company and the temporary agency deny full responsibility for worker health and safety. And so due to this distinct employment relationship, an increase in injuries, illnesses, and fatalities among temporary workers, in April 2013, OSHA introduced the Temporary Worker Initiative to, quote, increase OSHA's focus on temporary workers in order to highlight employers' responsibilities to ensure these workers are protected from workplace hazards. Our host organization was Chicago Workers Collaborative, which is a worker organization that promotes full employment and equality for the lowest wage earners, particularly the temporary staffing workforce. They have four offices in northeastern Illinois, in Aurora, Chicago, Rolling Meadows, and Waukegan. We worked with all four locations. So this project built off of two prior OHIP projects and the collaborative and UIC's leadership training of temporary workers to be health and safety promoters. So this year, with knowledge from past OHIP projects, trained health and safety promoters, and new OSHA initiatives, the next logical step was to delve deeper into the industry in continuing to train health and safety promoters and to identify dangerous companies and test OSHA's response with their new initiatives in place. So our goals were to work with the health and safety promoters to interview temp workers in the manufacturing industry and to identify dangerous companies and health and safety hazards. And also to collect information for OSHA complaints and to file OSHA complaints. And specifically, the collaborative wanted to interview 40 temp workers and start 10 OSHA complaints and file 4. And as interns, our goals were to create positive change in the industry, learn about occupational health and safety of temp workers, and OSHA standards and procedures. So our first step was to become familiar with the current literature on temp work and occupational health and safety, past OHIP projects, and just the work of the collaborative. We then met with our academic and host organization advisors to discuss how interviews would help us identify dangerous companies and file OSHA complaints. We designed interview materials and piloted the interviews and got feedback from the collaborative, UIC faculty, and the health and safety promoters. Our interview materials consisted of a questionnaire and a hazard inventory sheet. The hazard inventory sheet was adapted from the Instituto del Progreso Latino Health and Safety bilingual manual. And so this is, as you can see, each hazard has an image or two to use as a visual prompt, specific examples of those hazards, and then questions. related to those hazards. So these are just the first two pages of our 8-page hazard inventory. We then met with the organizers and promoters at each worker center to strategize and create a plan of action for obtaining interviews. And we did this by identifying dangerous companies and the workers that the organizers and health promoters knew who worked at those organizations. At these meetings, we also addressed any concerns or questions that the health promoters and organizers had about the project. And we could not have obtained these interviews without the help of the health and safety promoters and organizers at the collaborative. They were the ones that reached out to the workers identified in the planning meetings and also additional workers to schedule our interviews. And we used the information from the interviews to investigate the company's OSHA complaint investigation and citation histories, and then to consider where new complaints could be filed. And so ultimately, we conducted interviews with 33 workers and identified health and safety hazards at 30 companies. Types of companies included was a wide variety of companies, but they included metal foundries, feather distributors, frozen pizza manufacturers, plastic cup manufacturers, salad bagging companies. So it was a wide variety, but all in manufacturing. Our interviews averaged about an hour and were semi-structured using the materials that we developed as a guide, but always keeping in mind our goal of obtaining the information that would be necessary to file OSHA complaints. And so the most common hazards that we identified were stress, falls at the same level, sharp objects, and repetitive motions. 66% of workers reported stress due to factors such as the pressure to work quickly, discrimination and verbal abuse. 60% reported falls at the same level, so due to factors such as slippery floors, cluttered workspaces. And then 60% also reported working with sharp objects, and 57% reported repetitive motion as a hazard. And then we asked the workers if hazards were reported and to whom. 77% said that they reported hazards to the companies, and 31% said the hazards were not reported at all. Only one worker said that he had ever reported to OSHA about the hazards. And then we also asked what the response to these reports were. So most of the workers, most of the reports about hazards went ignored, as reported by 37% of the workers, and 20% said that workers were punished, 17% said that they were fired for reporting hazards, and 9% said that the hazard was fixed or removed. So in addition to that data and lots of other data that we obtained related to things like personal protective equipment, health and safety training, you know, the interviews lasted an hour, so we asked lots of other questions, too. But we created our give-back products, which consisted of the interview materials, so the questionnaire, the hazard inventory sheet, questions on how to, or I'm sorry, instructions on how to continue the interviews. And then we also created an extensive portfolio of each of the 30 dangerous companies with a description of the factory, workforce, temporary, or the type of work, hazards present, temp agencies, injuries and illnesses, reporting procedures, training, and OSHA history. We also provided the collaborative with a spreadsheet of all the information about the workers that we talked to and the different companies and hazards. And then we also created a press release for the collaborative. So some of the biggest challenges were time, as I think was probably the case for a lot of the OHIP projects. We, I don't know if it was mentioned yet, but we basically had 2 months to do all of this. So it was that was a lot to do in 2 months. In addition, one of the goals was to train health and safety promoters. and have them conduct the interviews with us. But due to time constraints, our host organization requested that the interns really take the lead on doing the interviews. And so that's what we did, and we brought the health promoters in as they were willing and able. So in the end, about half of the promoters were ready to conduct interviews on their own, and the other half still required some more training. There's also the occasional disconnect between what the workers felt like were the most pressing health and safety concerns, like bathroom breaks, temperature, the workplace, and then what OSHA prioritized, like machine guarding, forklifts. As one worker said, she said, "I'll do any job. It doesn't matter what you make me do. Just let me go to the bathroom and drink water when I need to." I mean, you know, we interviewed workers who worked 12-hour shifts and weren't allowed bathroom breaks. And then the terminology and language was also a challenge. A combination of Spanish, English, Spanglish, and then very specific manufacturing terms that we weren't familiar with in either language necessarily, sometimes made understanding the workers difficult. However, ultimately, we're really proud of the work that we have done. Our portfolio of 30 companies created provides a concrete understanding of the working conditions and players in Northeastern Illinois temp labor. The relationships we built, the people we connected, we worked with organizers, government agencies, academics, community members. It was really great to be able to bring all these people together to work with all these different organizations. And then our give back products will continue the facilitation of this work. And then our biggest success was achieving our ultimate goal of filing OSHA complaints. Two were filed during OHIP, and then our work has really set the foundation for more. So these are some pictures of workers filing OSHA complaints with the organizers, interns, and then the OSHA area directors. And so our recommendations for the collaborative were just to maintain the relationships with the workers that we interviewed. A lot of these workers had never heard of the collaborative before, and so it's important that they continue to be informed and empowered, and then also to continue training and empowering the health promoters, and then maintain and add to the company profiles. And then also, for OSHA, we recommend to continue to expand the temporary worker initiative to increase protections for temporary workers and then enforce laws and regulations through the temporary worker initiative, and then revise the standards to reflect the current health and safety concerns. So updates since OHIP, one additional complaint was filed based on the information that we collected during our interviews. And as reported by the lead organizer of the collaborative, these three investigations are very high priority for OSHA. OSHA's going in at least a weekly basis to monitor and conduct their investigations. And as interns, Maria and I are both continuing our work and studies in occupational health and safety. And Maria currently is recently started as a graduate research assistant at UCLA Losh, and I've received a lot of great support from the UIC faculty to conduct some additional data analysis and pursue a paper for publication, so I'll be pursuing that in collaboration with Maria as well. So for reflections, this was really just a life-changing experience. The successes and challenges taught us a lot about worker health and safety, working with community organizations, government agencies, academic institutions, and just learning about occupational health and safety as well. And then connecting with the workers and hearing their stories was really a unique and motivating experience, and it really continues us to motivates us to continue in la lucha, or to continue in the fight for social justice and healthy and safe working conditions for all. And we just I'd just like to thank everyone who's made this experience possible. The NIOSH, the Association for Occupational Environmental Clinics, specifically the Ingrid Dennis, UCLA Losh, specifically Sarah Jacobs, our wonderful staff at UIC, Marsha Love, Joe Zanoni, Linda Forrest, and then the organizers, specifically Tim Bell and all the other staff at the collaborative. The two that were filed during OHIP, the primary concern was machine guarding. So there were lots of machine problems where machines were slipping and hitting workers, knocking them to the ground, or they're using machines with their hands and it's dangerous for amputations. So those were kind of the main concerns. I know Silica was of an interest in the machine metal foundry, and I'm trying to remember what else. Machine guarding was really the big one that they were interested in. Yeah, and sorry, what was the second part to the question?
So for the ones that you weren't able to meet the OSHA requirements, were there other responses that the collaborative?
Well, we're just working with the workers there to educate them and empower them on their rights. And then to continue to collect information, because something that we really learned was that you really need a lot of very specific information to file OSHA complaints. And so some of that, we just weren't able to obtain that level of detail in our interviews. So they have these company profiles. And that was one of our recommendations, to continue working with the find more workers at those organizations, get more detail to be able to file further complaints. Yeah. Yeah, and I think there's a combination between issues that just didn't have OSHA standards, and then issues that had standards but just weren't prioritized by OSHA. So, but yeah,
he should be making OSHA's program.
Yeah. We have a question.
Right. Yeah, me too, yeah.
And
right, and I think the whole reporting is what I want to go back to the data and do some additional data analysis on. I think that there's some really interesting implications there, because I was surprised too how many actually reported to the company. I think there's some education aspects going in there. That they don't even they're trying to report, but maybe they just don't know where or how. So yeah, I found those results interesting as well. Yeah, and so that was kind of that third complaint that wasn't filed until after OHIP ended was because the collaborative needed more time to work with those workers and build that trust. The folks at the two organizations that we filed complaints with during OHIP, they were very eager. They didn't have fear. I mean, one of them had already been fired. They were very actually motivated. and didn't have much fear of losing their job. The third one needed some more time to build that trust. And that's something the collaborative is really great at, in terms of the community organizers, to really motivate the workers and help them understand the benefits of speaking out. And also to provide them with protections, if they do get fired, because, some of the workers that they are working with have gotten fired, and they're continuing to, so support those workers. Yeah, exactly. Actually, we worked with the labor liaison for OSHA, and she was really grateful at just kind of supporting with us and meeting with us and helping us basically guide how to decide which companies to choose to follow complaints with. So, and I think that was a unique experience, because in the past the collaborative has filed complaints, OSHA complaints, but just paper, electronically, or whatever. But in this case, we were actually able to sit down and have the complaints filed in person, so the OSHA directors could ask more specific clarifying questions and really create a strong report. So it was a great collaboration with OSHA as well. People that make this program run, especially our coordinators. So please raise your hand if you were involved in OHEP. I know that we have a lot of people in this room at all different levels, so I also want to give a special thanks to our coordinators. And then former OHEP interns, I know there's some in the house, so thank you for continuing to support us. And if you have additional questions, come up here and support our interns.